As I share with you today, I share with you bearing in mind several things that we are having as our sub-theme for this month on yielding to temptation. In other words, do not yield to temptation. But I'm also bearing in mind that we are focusing on come to Jesus as we begin our crusade on next Sunday evening and for a whole week following that, and you will see the information on the program. But I believe today, as the Lord helps me to merge those two things, He has brought me to a text that He revealed to me from August. One of the many texts and sermons He revealed to me from August when I was in Georgia, USA. I believe that He wants me today to share with you from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. And what will be my focus today? Anybody knows? Have faith. Have faith. Have faith based on Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 6. So, Lord, let nothing that comes from my mouth today be anything that I want to say, but let it be what you want to say through me. So bless your words unto our hearts and glorify your name through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe this is how the Lord wants me to begin, with a simple question that I'm sure all of us are able to answer. And the question is, if I come to you from the town of Old Darber and say to you, there's free food being issued in Old Darber, and you know that I am a habitual liar, would you not be prone to want to doubt me? I want to confirm it. But why would you want to doubt me if I say that there's free food in Old Arbor? Now, why would you think that there's no free food in Old Arbor? Is because I am a habitual liar? And the possibility exists that I may be lying one more time? I want to believe that that is it. Now, if you look at what I say at the start of the sermon, as the Lord laid it on my heart in terms of the skeleton, on page 6, I want you to read what I say there. Page 6, how do I start? You want me to help you to read it? Let me help you to read it. And tell me if it makes any sense to you. But this is how the Lord revealed it to me as I reflected on the passage. It says, have faith. Hebrews 11, 1 and 6. What is 1 to 6 really? This is, come with me now. This is an encouragement not only to believe, but to trust based on that which has been proven to be true. Make any sense? You see, that we don't always make a distinction between trust and believe. But even if there is no real distinction, there is a connection. If you did not know me as a habitual liar, it would have been easier for you to believe that what I said, that there is free food given out in Old Harbor. The problem is that because of my habitual lying, you find it difficult to trust me. And if you can't trust me, you can't believe me. Hello? If you can't trust me, it is difficult to believe me. For where there is trust, there's always belief. If you can trust me, you'll find it easier to believe me. I suggest to you that is the wrestling of the book of Hebrews. So even as the writer moves from the first section where he speaks to the superiority of Christ, like Christ is superior, that starts with chapter 1 verse 1 and ends in chapter 10 verse 18. And the writer begins an exhortation. So you know who Christ is. You can trust him. What do you do then? You can stand on his promises. If you can trust him because he has established that he is trustworthy, then you can know that what he promises is something you can believe in. And so, after establishing who Christ is, in chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, because some people were discouraged. We're not even sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. But there's this debate about it, whether it be Paul, or whether it be Peter, whether it be whoever, Apollos. No certainty. Because the book don't say who wrote it. But we know one thing about this book. Is that there were some people in the church who were discouraged. What did I say? Anybody understand what I'm talking about when I talk about discouraged? Anybody in here ever feel discouraged yet? I mean really, really discouraged? Even really discouraged, you can't bother? So discouraged that you want to compromise? You want to give up? You want to throw in the towel? No, man. You don't know what I'm talking about, not true. You do? You do. But maybe you understand how the people in the Hebrew church were feeling. The people in Asia Minor. The Hebrew people in Asia Minor were feeling discouraged. We know God is a good God. He has a word of encouragement where there is discouragement. Sister Dixon. He has a word of encouragement where there is discouragement. Oh, somebody praise the Lord in this place. Somebody praise the Lord in this place. So whoever the writer is, he told them, write to them, let them know, say, you can trust Jesus. Based on what he has already done, you can trust him. So don't be discouraged because you're not seeing return yet and some people dying off and some people persecuting you. Hold on or give up. For if you can trust him because of what he has done, you can stand on his promises that he will do it. Come to church. So what's the simple thing? Have faith. So, we see this encouragement about having faith starting earlier. It didn't start in Hebrews 11 verse 1. It really started with Hebrews 10 verse 19. But that's where the exaltation starts, to have faith. Since you know this, about the character of God in Christ Jesus, then you can believe that he will fulfill what he has promised. Well, I hear a kind of song in my head saying, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring, glory in the eyes, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. So, and I encourage you only to believe, because if you really don't trust, you can't believe. But when you trust, you can believe. So don't just believe, trust him, then you will believe, because you trust him. And so, as I encourage you to have faith, the Lord said to me, one, this is about reality. You'll see it there. Two, this is about reliability. And three, this is about responsibility. Now, what is it the Lord is saying, really? As you focus on these three things, as you encourage to have faith, we begin with elaborating, and this is about reality. Now we're going to flag verse 1 a little bit. Very well known verse, but why sometimes I tell you the truth, me personally afraid of it. Because it's a powerful verse, you know. Powerful verse. Have you ever stopped to think about it? So if you read the King James Version, like what we read this morning, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But there are other translations that take out those two words, substance and evidence, and use two other words. So, like a New International Version will say, faith is the confidence for what you hope, the assurance for what you have not seen. Check it out. The confidence for what you hope, the assurance of what you have not yet seen. Wow. Now, let's take the word substance a little bit first. I use the word reality, which is about evidence. Come to church. Now, some people think when you talk about faith, you don't talk about evidence. And the scientists fool me sometimes that there's nothing about evidence when you talk about faith. But talk to me. Is not trust based on evidence? Hello? Yeah, evidence. 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 So he uses the word substance and evidence. Those two words in the King James Version. And where there is substance and evidence, then there is assurance and conviction. Let me not rush it too fast. So when I talk about substance, are you not talking about something real? Substance, real. Evidence, real. Substance of what you hope for. Evidence of what you have not seen. It's a kind of Hebrew kind of writing we call parallelism. It's not two different things the pastor is talking about now. It's the same thing. Something real. So whether it is substance or evidence, it's talking about something real. It's talking about reality. It's suggesting to us, if you know what the reality of God has been, then you can believe in what God has promised. So hope for is what you don't see yet. You don't have yet. You hope. If you hope for something, do you have it yet? Yet still, this hope is like substance. Because God can be trusted. Therefore, if you don't get it yet, it's like substance to you. It's like it's real. Even though I don't get it yet, it is still real. So I am hoping, but I know I have it already. Come to church. I wonder if anybody you don't understand faith. I am hoping, but because I can trust God, I have it already. So what is hope for is like substance, real, reality. Already. It's like evidence. I can use it in a court of law. Evidence. I don't see it yet, but it's still real already because I can use it to talk anywhere because I know who God is. Not a liar. Not somebody who is slack to his promises, but he has done it. The reality is that God does what he promises. Now, let's just angle the book of Hebrews a little bit more. Did the promise of Jesus begin in the New Testament or the Old Testament? Anybody can tell me? You know. I've always told you that the first promise is found in Genesis 3, verse 15. But then you also use other passages. Don't we always use, especially at Christmas time, Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Did not Jesus say in Luke 24, verse 44, that the prophets and the law speak about me, Jesus? Check it out. That Jesus is being spoken of in Hebrews as one who has fulfilled the promises of God. Now we know when we read Galatians chapter 3 and onward especially, that whatever was given in the Old Testament like the law is like a schoolmaster, a foreshadow of things to come. But then God's promises were fulfilled in Christ Jesus so that the old covenant is no longer necessary, but the new covenant in the blood of Jesus is enforced. So that which God has promised became real to us in Jesus. For God has proven, there is reality, that God has fulfilled His promise. Reality. There's evidence. And he said, think like me and tell, read through all of Hebrews. Read through the people who can testify. Read verse 2. That those of the past, through this faith, have a good testimony, have a good report about God. For they prove God that God is not slack concerning his promises. Therefore, when you come to God by faith, you can believe that what you ask for is already a reality. What you hope for is already seen and can be handled and can be touched. You feel it. You touch it even though you hope for it. You feel it and touch it even though it is not before you as yet, because you serve a God who is not slack concerning his promises. He has already proven in Christ Jesus that what he promises, he fulfills. Therefore, you can stand on his promises. Evidence, substance, confidence, assurance. What words in God? Eh? You see, before I move on, the Lord also wanted me just to say this to you. That God did promise his people the promised land. I want you to get where I'm going. In order to reach the promised land, did they not have a lot of struggles? Don't you think that they felt sometime that this did not make sense? Did not they have to cross a Red Sea in the midst of it, doubting and complaining? Did they not have to pass through Jordan, which looked boisterous and impossible to pass? What's the point God wants me to make? You see, sometime when you exercise the faith and you say, yes, God, we never bother worry because my seat already even before. I have like a substance, reality, what I hope for. You see, especially when it takes too long to come and the struggles continue, you can begin to feel discouraged. That this now come true at all. Boy, me at a position where maybe you say it'll happen. But boy, the way that I take long for happen, God, it's like me not believe me to reach the promised land there. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. God is not slack concerning his promise. And if God promises to bless you, he's going to bless you. Sometimes there has to be desert to cross, come to church. Red Sea to cross, Jordan River to cross. But it don't mean that God forget his promise to you. Come to church, he remembers! Sometimes we just need to have patience. Don't feel discouraged, but wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. He promises that you will mount up. I wonder if you're hearing me. Oh, you don't feel like you can mount. You sometimes feel like you're a common fowl. Oh, I didn't say that. Hey, brothers and sisters, you know, this is what I think in my mind. That if you are among common fowls, even though you're born an eagle, you can begin to feel like common fowl. But that cannot stop you from soaring when that time comes. Come to church. You mount up with wings like eagles. In other words, no circumstance, no reality, no talking, no persecution, no struggles can stop you from achieving what God has in store for you. For God can be trusted. What's the reality? God can be trusted. Therefore, when you ask by faith, it means that you believe you shall have it, and then you shall have it. Spend time and read a little bit what is said in the gospel. For example, in Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22. Ask for, believing that you have received it, then you shall have it. What is it? Substance already, even though I still hope. Not yet, but yet. Evidence me have already. Although I don't see it, but I can still see it, and I can feel it. Is evidence. Why? Because you can trust God. And if you trust God, then you believe that what he promises will come true. But then he wants me to go to something which is quite similar. But wants me to take a different slant. For where there is reality, there is also reliability. Reliability which speaks to confidence. Reliability which speaks to confidence. That I believe that the elders, they could give a good report of God. That they have the confidence. Confidence suggesting that because of who God is, you can rely on God, therefore you can have confidence in God. Is there anybody here who think you can have confidence in God? Do we have that confidence in God that we should have? That yes, God has proven himself to be reliable because of the reality that I know about God. Therefore, I can have confidence in God. For what God says that he will do, then God will do it. There can be confidence in God. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes, although you work with God and God do it already, when the next time come, you just feel, say, why, God did come through the time, but I'm not sure about this time. You know, every time I think about this, I think about David. David. Confidence. So everybody was fearful. For sometimes what you're up against seem invincible. Like you can't conquer it, not true. So there is the reality that God can be trusted because he proved himself to be trustworthy. But then Lord, I want to see him hard. Invincible. I feel like Saul. Before me even try, me lose. Because this is Goliath. But when you have been there and done that, God wants you to believe that even though this one looks invincible, the same God who has done it already will do it again. So remember what David said. God was with me when I killed the bear. God was with me when I killed the lion. Therefore, the same God who helped me to kill the bear and kill the lion, he will deliver you in my hand, you Philistine giants. You know? Sometimes you have to watch the kind of advice you get from people. You have to be careful how people counsel you. I mean, not calling anybody ungodly now. Although Psalm says, basically, you walk it not in the counsel of the ungodly. But let me not go there though. Just simply put it this way. If you think about this story logically, was David encouraged? Did anybody encourage him? Now think about it now. He was not, his brother criticized him. Things ain't just want a piece of the action. Come to church. The king did not have any confidence that David could win the battle. But your confidence should not be based on what people have to say or don't have to say. People are free to say anything and will say anything for this amount make for chat. Hello, church. Sometimes as God, because of what God has done in your life already, because of the reality that God can be trusted, already gives you the confidence to go forward. But then you don't tell person. And when person done with you, you know what I'm bother. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. For you are standing on pastor's word and not on the promises of God who you can trust. And no matter what others may think, once you believe that this God who have done it already will do it again, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Sure.
Sure, sure.
Sometimes you know the right thing. For when you did come through the last time, you were down on your knees. Come to church. And your knees are there praying, you know. And you're there for your knees until God come through. But this time you're going to get advice. And something you're going to check a different sort. Oh Lord. Your confidence must be in God. You don't know God to be a liar. You can trust God. And if God tells us a free food, God old lava, then free food up a old lava. You can start run. Pastor may be lying, you know, if you believe, Pastor. But God is not a liar. And when God says, can't happen, it will happen. It will happen. Don't take any counsel from anybody. For something, you lose your way. And miss your way. Oh, come on, church. But if you have an issue in your life, see him like you go down on your knee and pray. Talk to your God. Believing that there is substance, even though your hope. There's evidence even though you don't see. For this is not about physical sight. It's about spiritual sight. Come to church. Some of the people you are talking to can't see like you, but yet still you seek advice from them. They don't know the reality that you know. Because you trust God. You have been there and done that. Rather than seeking advice, seek counsel from the word of God. Come to church. Take it and read it and wrestle with it. When you don't understand, help somebody help you to understand it. But you must stand on the promises of God. Don't be discouraged by anybody. Don't be discouraged by anyone. I like the man that we read of in Mark chapter 10 verse 45 onward. The man called blind Bartimaeus. Boy, that's supposed blind by team, you say follow the people there. I mean, blessing will I come now, come to church. Will he get his blessing? What do you think blind by team must cry out? The man must have heard about Jesus. He heard about the story of how the Savior came from glory. He heard about how the blind were made to see and the lame walked. Therefore, he knew that this man could be trusted. Therefore, the crowd said to him, shut up and sit down. He cried out the more, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. Somebody need to cry out. Something you never need to talk to parson. Talk to me. You never need to talk to pastor, a deacon, or talk to the manager, or talk to the counselor. Just take a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He will hear your faintest cry, and he will answer. Have a little talk with Jesus, Nick. One more time, oh yeah, no. Somebody praise the Lord. Yes, yeah, somebody praise the Lord. Spirit of encouragement. The Lord wants to drop that spirit in your spirit and your reality. For God knows that although he knows that you know, that you know, he knows that you know. That somehow there are circumstances that can soften your confidence. There are persons who can say things that make you don't feel so confident again. Sometimes it is just the lapse of time that makes you not feel so confident again. But God is reliable, for he has proven, yes, the reality that he can be trusted. Therefore, no matter what the circumstances, you must have confidence. That's what the writer was saying to the people. That the reality is persecution and discouragement. But remember this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is confidence and assurance that the God who has done it already will do it again. So, if it don't start happening yet, pray. And if it still don't start happening yet, pray. And 6 months pass, it still don't happen yet, pray. And 1 year pass, and it still not come true, pray. And if 10 years pass, pray. And every time you pray, go with confidence that God, who has done it already, he will do it again. Just a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He will hear. Oh, sometimes your mouth no big like past mouth. You can't talk loud, but God no deaf whisper it. You know if you shout it out. God, you hear me. Hear your faintest cry. He will answer. What will he do? He will. I could go far. Because as I talk, I think about the confidence that he speaks of in passages such as Matthew 7 and Luke chapter 11. When he says, ask and it shall be given you. What does that mean? Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. For if you ask for a fish, God will not give you a serpent. If you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. For fathers on earth know how to give good gifts. How much more the Father in heaven? Don't be discouraged. God is not wearied by your asking. Ask. Reliable is God. Therefore, there's confidence. But one final thing. And the word is responsibility. Responsibility. Responsibility is about prudence, which is to exercise wisdom. You know, that is what the writer was encouraging the people to do. You know, sometimes Lord just says something and you laugh, you know. Come back to the true brothers and sisters. Sometimes even you yourself don't want to talk what God tell you, you know. Like you remember the man called Jeremiah? When did it say about fire? Why did he feel like a fire was shut up within his bone? Because he refused to talk where God wanted him to talk. And when you don't talk what God wanted to talk, you feel like a fire that burns you inside. You have to let it out. For once that God says so, you have to talk it. So if you know the reality, therefore you know about the reliability of God, then there must be something about your responsibility. In other words, very simple. He was saying to the people who are discouraged in the Hebrew church, discouraged, that listen, my man, don't be discouraged. But rather choose to do the right thing. In other words, not look back. Not go back where you come from. But I was saying, boy, we can't bother you, man, because it seems like this thing not working. We could go back to the Jewish faith. That was good. But why go back to good when you have something better? Come to church. Why? You spend the whole time showing the comparison. He was not saying that what was, it was not good. But he said, now in Jesus, you have something better. Don't look back. Oh Lord, oh Lord. I suggest to you that there was already evidence of looking back. Read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Some people stopped God. Maybe you need to read it. I'm not telling nothing. Some people are stopped God church. For when there's a discouragement, you know, when there's a discouraging spirit, you can feel like you don't want to go back to church. Anybody ever feel like we're yet? Me feel, oh, you never feel so yet? You're a good somebody. Sometimes I did feel like me don't want to feel a certain church. But guess what? What you feel is not what you do. You do what is right. Now, so, anybody can feel anything. Hey, sometimes you feel like, so boy, Lord, so all things rough, you better be not dead and gone. But you rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. For what you feel like is not what you cherish. You do the right thing. Come to church. Anybody can feel anything. Anybody can feel like you want to commit suicide. But you don't have to commit suicide. For what you feel like is not what you do. Anybody can feel like they want to stay in Egypt. But it means that Egypt is good. And even if it's good, the promised land is better. Or come to church. Anybody can feel like you want to go back in the world? Because you feel like things are working out better. But what you feel like is not what you need to do. You need to do the right thing. God is saying, why choose good when there is better? So pastor can feel like you don't want to preach. But God can make a fire shut up in my bone. I'm going to preach. There are those of you may feel like you don't want to say nothing when about this church. But God will make a fire shut up in your bone. And you have to say what you want to say. And say what God wants to say. You can feel like you don't want to do nothing more in whatever church you go to. Whether it's Baptist or New Testament or whatever church. But when God gets ready, you have to move. For God will light fire. Make you feel like a fire is shut up within your bones. And comfortable. For God has an interest in you. God don't want you to settle for less when there is better. So the encouragement was to them. So hear God now. Assume that now. Hear God now. Let me just run through the rest of verses. So, and go to verse 3. And tell them that, listen me, you can trust God's word. It is so powerful that he spoke it and things came into being. What a word. You can't trust it. The word that created something out of nothing. You can trust this word. And move on to speak about responsibility. So who did he touch first of all? Cain and Abel. Come now. Abel exercised this faith and received a good report. Now ask the question, God, is it that Cain did not know the right thing? Cain, he knew what was right but did not do what was right. His attitude toward God was not right. And when your attitude toward God is not right, your attitude toward your brother or sister will not be right. So he knew the right thing, but did not do the right thing. And when God confronted him about doing the wrong thing, his reaction was to still do the wrong thing. Oh Lord. Parson, when God gives you opportunity to repent, repent. And when God spoke to him, that what he did was to do the wrong thing still. So it is irresponsible. Enoch chose to do the right thing. And so Enoch did not taste death, but was translated. Then, I want to skip verse 6 a little bit and just go back to the Old Testament lesson. Adam and Eve chose to do the wrong thing. Did they know the right thing? Why did they know? For God told them in Genesis 2. So if you know the right thing and choose to do the wrong thing, is that irresponsible? And that's why I talk about responsibility. You have a responsibility to do the right thing when you know the right thing, or you shall suffer the consequences of your action. Come to church. You shall suffer the consequence of your action. But when you do the right thing by trusting God, because you know that you must trust God, that without faith it is impossible to please God, then when you seek after God, believing that God exists and that there is a God, then God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So no matter what a God may say, even when I feel like I say God, I still say God. Even when I feel like put on God, I still keep up God. In other words, not only choose Jesus at the start, but keep on choosing Jesus or the pathway of Jesus. Have faith in God. No matter what, trust God. For God has done it already. Therefore, God is reliable. You can have confidence in God to do it again. Therefore, you must be responsible and do what God expects of you, even if you don't feel like doing it. And that's our problem sometimes. Robert Campbell, Tyrone Barnett, some of us, we make how we feel get the better of us rather than what God expects of us. I'll leave a word then with you. There are many things that can make us feel discouraged, but have faith. Simply, many things that can make us feel discouraged, but like God revealed the people in the church, in Asia Minor, the Hebrew people, have faith. Have faith. Listen to God and not to men. Let God lead you and don't follow your feeling. For God has proven there's reality that you can have confidence in God. Therefore, be prudent and do the responsible thing. Amen. I invite us to stand as we sing.